God. The Bible teaches that, and I believe it to be true. All of the good decisions I've made in my life, praise God, I came to know Jesus Christ as a little boy. And I can look back and I can say all the good decisions that I made in my life I attribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. To my desire to worship Him, to honor Him with my decisions. And I can say those poor decisions I made had nothing to do with Jesus. It was my desire to be independent, free thinking, doing my own stuff. But those decisions I look back on and I say these were honorable, these were good. I can say praise Jesus Christ for those decisions. He makes me worthy, and He makes my life worth living. This morning we're going to read about that day when it finally arrived that the Savior was coming. And we'll notice there were many people who really had no interest. There was nothing going on. As far as they were concerned, it was the same as any other day, an ordinary day in the life of the first century. His birth hour would be a simple moment in time. Sadly, it's just as true today that there are many people that had no interest in that day of His birth or what He came to do. Though there are many who proclaim at this time of year especially to be doing something pertaining to His birthday, I wonder how many truly are doing it in a sense of trying or attempting to celebrate Him. What we call Christmas in this country, at least from my perspective, is often about spending money, sending cards, having dinners, spending time with family, or sometimes missing family, right? Families who have passed on. Perhaps it's just a long weekend. Many see Jesus simply as another man who lived. And maybe he's honorable. Maybe he's a nice guy. But not much more than that. To me, He is my Lord and Savior. He gives me a reason for living. Who is that baby born in Bethlehem so long ago to you? Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria. Luke, in his gospel, we see he's a very particular historian. He wants to get it right, and he wants to give you other happenings that's going on so that you can know when it happened. You see, Jesus, this is just not some made-up story. This happened at a particular place in a particular time, and there was other things going on around about, and Luke wants you to know that. He wants to nail it down like a reporter who cares about his story. He wants to get it right. He wants you to be able to follow it up. Caesar Augustus. Caesar was a title given to Roman dictators, maybe similar to czars of Russia. And the first Roman dictator was Julius Caesar. And then the title of Caesar was handed down to other emperors and dictators who followed him. Caesar Augustus was born Gaius Octavius. And he was adopted by Julius Caesar after he died, actually. It was in his last will and testament. And then his name was changed to Gaius Julius Caesar Octavius. History books often simply call him Octavian. So Octavian, or Caesar Augustus, also defeated Mark Antony and Cleopatra. You can read about this in your history books. And he gained control over the entire Roman Empire, and eventually he was given an honorary title of Augustus. So when we read Caesar Augustus, we're not really reading names, we're reading an honorary title. Caesar means dictator, Augustus means majestic. So he's majestic dictator. Now you just imagine thinking again from the perspective of someone who worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the Savior was coming, the King of the Jews, writing down Caesar Augustus. I would imagine Luke maybe even thought to himself, maybe snickered a little bit, thinking he thinks he's a majestic dictator, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only majestic person in this world that we should give that type of honor to. There was another dictator of sorts who lived in that time that Luke doesn't hear specifically mentioned in our text, Herod, sometimes called Herod the Great, so we can separate out some of the other Herods that we also read about in the Bible. Herod the Great was a friend of Caesar Augustus and was given the title of king over Palestine, which also included Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. And Herod oversaw this great rebuilding of the temple and the temple area. He wanted to make it great. So something about him and some aspects, people were looking at him and how great he was, how possibly maybe even how righteous he was, at least in what he was doing. He was doing something that was honoring God. He was making the temple great. And yet, when the time came, when he found out about this little baby boy coming, he attempted to kill the Lord Jesus. He was fearful that someone was going to take away his power. So the very God who sent his son, the very God who was being worshipped in this temple that he was building up, he attempted to kill his son. Tell me, did Herod have room in his life, in his home, for Jesus? In a similar manner, maybe not quite as drastic, there are those today who celebrate Christmas and yet have no interest in honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Herod, they do something outward, something that appears. Maybe they wear Christmas earrings. Maybe they put angels in trees. They gather around and sing songs about Jesus. But yet, sometimes we see them giving more credence to a red man suit than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Luke chapter 2, verse 3. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. This registering, and your Bible might say, your Bible might say taxing. It was a census. Caesar, Augustus Caesar, he wanted to know who all was in his empire. He wanted to know where they were so that he could have some control over them. And obviously, he also wanted to collect as much taxes as possible. Verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. So Joseph and Mary traveling from their hometown of Nazareth, where they were living, back to Bethlehem, because of this counting, this census that Caesar had asked for. Isn't it interesting that an earthly dictator was actually fulfilling God's prophecy that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem? Joseph went to this birthplace, and so doing, he fulfilled the prophecy that God had spoken of. And also, if you know your Bible, you remember David, King David, was promised an eternal king, a descendant who would eventually come into his kingdom and be that king for eternity. So we see Joseph was of the lineage of David, and Jesus himself also, being born in the same city, was going to be seen as in the lineage of King David. Verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Lo, again, we hear this so many times that Joseph and Mary were of a lowly family, of a lowly part of Israel. And yet, within their family is going to be born King of the Jews. And there was no place found for them. Imagine, it was a very busy time, and they're searching around. So many movies and books depicted. And I imagine you probably in your mind's eye, you can envision something you've seen, them frantically looking for a place for them to stay. And yet there was no room, no place that at least you would want your pregnant wife to stay and where your child will be born no place for them in the end, and that Jesus was ultimately born where the animals were, and he was laid into a trough of the animals. Is there room for Jesus at your home? Many of the stores are crowded this time of year. As I was on my way home last night, I had a plan. I was going to stop at Lowe's. There was a couple of just small items I needed for the house, some things that I'm working on. And as I was driving, and I was looking at all the traffic, and I began to envision the long lines, possibly because of what all was going on with Christmas, and I simply just drove on by. I thought, I'll get another day. I don't want to get in line. It's just sadly, so much of all this gathering and hustling and bustling, again, supposedly has something to do with Christmas. But how many of them, I wonder, how many of them are truly worshiping Jesus? Christmas, Christ, Mass. Christ is the Anointed One, the Messiah. It's not Jesus' name, it's a title. He was the Messiah, the Anointed One that was coming from God, ultimately our Savior. And Mass itself means, in Latin, means to be sent. Christ was sent, and I know there are certain denominations, Christian denominations, that consider Mass to talk about their church service. So when we speak of Christmas, we ought to be understanding the world. Does the world truly understand when they say Merry Christmas? Or are they really attributing it to the Messiah who has come? How many are in the crowded stores preparing for Christmas Day are truly doing anything pertaining to remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, celebrating the gift that was given to the world? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, Jesus says, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." Jesus was trying to comfort the disciples and understanding there were some that weren't going to accept them. And he says, listen, those who do accept you are accepting me. We're studying in Acts and Wednesday night how sometimes those who are going out of teaching and preaching the truth aren't accepted. Jesus was trying to comfort them. Listen, if they do accept you, they're really accepting me. And ultimately, he says here, if they're accepting me, they're accepting him who sent me. When we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, we're worshiping the God who created us. Those who accept Jesus into their house, that is, those who are worshiping as in Savior and Lord, are worshiping God. Again, I ask you, is there room for Jesus in your home? And of course, when I say home, I'm talking about your life. Not just in your home, but in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your communities, in your jobs. Is the Bible read in your home, or is it a mantelpiece? People speak of freedom. I want freedom. How many riots and how many gatherings in our country, and I know this happens elsewhere too, screaming out freedom. I want freedom. And generally, at least this is how I see it, when they're screaming that out. We want freedom to do anything we want in any way we want, and it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or how it affects anybody else. And truthfully, in some cases, it doesn't even matter how it affects me. Right? I want the freedom to do those things, even that are harmful to me and to you. That's how it seems to me that so many in society are hollering out for freedom. I want freedom. But you know what? I want freedom too. But I want that freedom that Jesus Christ describes that's beneficial to me and honors him. Truthfully, he says to find the true freedom is enslaving yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, and if you're truly my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You want to know a truth that brings some sense of understanding in your life, of a sense of value in your life? You want to feel loved? You want to recognize how good life is intended to be? You truly want to be free in a way that's exhilarating, that's a blessing to your life and to your communities? And Jesus says, worship me. If you abide in my word, how do we abide in his word? That means we're reading it. That means we're studying it. That means we're putting it into practice in our lives. This is true freedom as God sees it. I know you're sitting back there now thinking, no, freedom is me doing anything I want. Go ahead and do that, but understand there are consequences. Jesus is saying, listen, a real freedom that brings blessings into your life is not for seeing yourself as simply fulfilling what it is, whatever it is you want to do in the moment that you want to do it. True freedom that brings blessings in your life is enslaving yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, that little baby boy that we claim to worship on December 25th. Abiding in His Word is to put into practice the acts that the Bible describes. Is there room in your home for Jesus? I want to encourage you here this morning, obviously, to make room in your life for Jesus, not just on December 25th, but I hope and pray, at least in some way, in the midst of the holidays, in the midst of one of those times that you're gathering, that you do take a moment and have a conversation and have a prayer and speak to your families about, this is about Jesus Christ. Yes, it's great to have spend time with family. Yes, it's a great thing to be passing gifts around. But listen, that ought to be the attitude that we should have on a regular basis, wanting to be giving. Don't you find it interesting that there is an energy that, at least I perceive it at some time, seems like there's an energy around this time that some people want to be giving. Jesus Christ gives us clearly words to the effect that we ought to have that mindset throughout our lives, to be giving. Make room for Jesus. You want to live without regrets? Make room for Jesus. You want to find love? Allow Jesus into your home. You want to find a peace that surpasses all understanding? What that means is, and listen, Jesus didn't pull no punches. He said, this life, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But Paul tells us, one who served and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, listen, you can find a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace even in the midst of those trying and troubling times, if you hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can find peace even in the midst of those trying times. You want all this to happen, allow Jesus into your home. Please let Christmas be a time that you do remember what it is supposed to be about. He is truly the reason for the season. Understand, He's still attempting to get into homes and to get into lives. My question to you this morning, is He truly in your life? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love, Your mercy. Well, we hope and pray that each of us here this morning has come to that point in our faith where we've stepped up and acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledged our sinfulness, and put our trust in Your Son, Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that each of us here has a desire as we leave this place to honor Him with our lives. I hope we can each recognize how it is what is best for us. Lord, help us to enslave ourselves to Your truth and to find the peace that You desire to bring into this life. We thank You and praise You. What do we have this morning, Joe? Oh, holy night. If the Lord's speaking to your heart in any way, if you feel a sense of need to have a conversation with God, please do it in your seats, do it at the altar. Respond as you feel your heart being tugged. It's Christmas to each and every, all of you. My family are heading out of town this weekend. We're heading down to Kentucky, taking a little break, spending some time with family. I hope for each and every one of you, take some time, spend some time with your family. Hey, call somebody that you haven't talked to in a while. Tell them you love them. Yeah?
Lord, as we leave here today, dear Lord, we have a mission for this week. Yes, we have shopping to do. Yes, we have food to prepare. Yes, we have family, dear Lord, that is coming to visit. Dear Lord, we should have a message in our lives that tells your Son what he means to us. Just not only. Lift somebody's spirits with a smile, dear Lord, as we go out and do what we're doing. Help us to show your light. Help us to shine, dear Lord, with your presence, so that others will feel you in this time of year through our lives. And all that we do, dear Lord, we just praise you. Thank you. We just pray that you be with us through this week.